Thank you. This previous two speakers basically presented phosphorus loss from subsurface. And because both places, Iowa and southwestern Ontario, is clay soil, so we always have a tile at the subsurface. In this particular one, I'm not only talking about subsurface, I'm also talking about surface. So surface and subsurface, plus I guess we have another system in there, which is a controlled drainage sub-irrigation, because most of the time when you have a tire in there, it's mainly in the spring and the fall, but in summertime it's actually way too dry, so what are you going to do? So we make use of that tire, reverse, put water in and subsurface, put it up, hopefully increase yield. From yield increase, hopefully they would uptake more of nutrient. So this is the concept. And particularly today, I'm going to just also show the proportion of a surface and subsurface between the regular free drainage versus controlled drainage sub-irrigation. And Dr. Zen, he was helping to do all the phosphorus measurement. And as I mentioned, you know, traditionally, non-point sources pollution for the P in agriculture has not been paid much attention. Of course, that was quite a while ago, but now a lot of people pay a lot of attention to phosphorus now. Nitrogen still have the large proportion. And the conservation tillage and no-till and the traditionally thinking that would be reduce soil erosion. Because soil erosion reduced, and therefore the phosphorus will reduce, but that's only the surface. And we already proved, both of them already show, water has to balance. Once you have reduced the surface, they have to go down. When they go down, a long time ago, nobody measured that. Now we measure that. We know that a lot of phosphorus go down there as well. So I'm going to show you some of the data. And as I mentioned, because of you know, the droughts start to get in more and more often in southwestern Ontario now, probably even global so warming. So ended up summertimes, you know, even you have annual rainfall a lot, but summertime normally that's where the shortage of water. If you take a look in our stuff in here, this is potential evaporation. This is regular actual evaporation. And this is a deficit. This is not even considered the last 10 years. This is even worse now. So that's why sub-irrigation become very important. And that's what I mentioned. That's why we ended up trying to use in different way. Since the tire already set up, the best way is reverse. How do we reverse now? And that's why we build a reservoir. And because of so dry, even the groundwater is very hard to get water. Even you need to get water, very hard to get water. So we make use of the rainfall, surface runoff, tire runoff, and off-season, collect it in the artificial reservoir, and summertime reverse it. Sub-irrigation. And as I mentioned, that's the objective is to try to see the proportion of P loss between regular drainage, controlled drainage, sub-irrigation, and also try to assess the, you know, the loss in surface and subsurface, compare where is most significant. And also, sure, the crop growth and yield is very important as well. And experimental design. This is we study at the Conservation Authority, and it's a 0.35 hectare each. And one side here, controlled drainage sub-irrigation. This side is regular drainage, and we dig the reservoir in here. So during the off season, all the water, you know, get into the building in there. We collect all the runoff after finish, or pump in here. So then summertime, reverse it back to there. And this is what it looked like. This was a regular drainage. Because of clay soil, when you drainage in there, normally in the tire there, water level is low. You drain most of the water. Between the tire, normally a little bit slow because hydraulic conductivity is different. But sub-irrigation is reverse. When you put the water above the tire, you're going to see the water more around the tire area. So traditionally, if you look at the tire, if you have irrigated, obviously crop growing better, right? But in the sandy soils, this is more uniform. That's why our tire spacing, this particular one, we put the tire spacing closer. Actually, this is pretty close. In Canada, most of it is 25 feet apart. It used to be 50 feet apart. And then because it's a little bit too far, so 25. This one even closer than that because I know I'm going to do sub-irrigation. I want to make advantage of crop yield increase. So this is the chamber we put it in there to modify. And what it did is, okay, this particular one, if you look at here, this is going to the field. During the drainage mall, all the drainage coming here would come to this chamber. And if I take this plug off in there, this would be like a regular drainage. Would be no different. Because I put it in here, I put the riser in here. So I'm trying to keep some of water in there. If rainfall come in, I don't want to have all the rainfall go out. And I kept some in here. And then when it's over 30 centimeters, then they would flow out. So basically, I almost artificially raise a tile from 60 centimeters, 70 centimeters, to about 30 centimeters below the soil surface during the summertime, not in the wintertime. And in that case, the crop root zone could reach that water easier. And if it's dry, we'll put the water in. So reverse, put the water from that artificial wetland and reverse sub-irrigate it. And this was built in 1999. At that time, it's very dry. And the size of this, of course, you have to build, you have to make sure you know the water balance. In our case, the rainfall, about 40% go to the tile. So we calculated, and that's how big the area we needed. And that area is about 0.13 hectare, and the depth of 1.1 meter. We collect about 2 million liter. This 2 million liter, basically, you could irrigate entire summer, every day, it's no problem. And the problem would be, though, if you don't put the tile water coming here, rely on rainfall only, then evapotranspiration would be exactly take all the water out. So you're going to be dry reservoir. So a lot of artificial reservoir you build in there, they did not realize that you put the runoff all in there. If you don't put runoff based on rainfall, you're going to get dry reservoir summertime. You're not going to get it. But because we need to measure the water quality, so we have to build it in there to collect the, all the runoff. So we have four tipping bucket rain gauge. So one for surface, one for the tile, for the control drainage sub-irrigation, and the other one for regular drainage. And we have auto sampler. And so we calibrate this tipping bucket rain gauge, put in the data logger, automatic. They continue monitor all the runoff water. And at the same time, whenever they get a certain, say, 1,000 liter, whatever, then they can pump, you know, 1 liter of water to the auto sample. Everything's automatic, as a matter of fact. All we need to do is, when auto sample is full, go in there and bring the sample back and analyze the phosphorus and nitrate. So this is what it looks like. And this is what this is tipping bucket rain gauge. This is we particular build this because the size of the field is different. You have to build different size of tipping bucket rain gauge. And the result, I'm going to go into more in the dissolved reactive phosphor and unreactive phosphor, particular phosphor. So the total phosphor will be all added together. As I say, this is Dr. Zen measuring all of that parameter. And let's take a look at the volume first, cumulative flow volume. As I mentioned, we compare the regular drainage and control drainage. So when you control it, an obvious moisture will be a little bit high. When you got rainfall in there, you're going to get a little bit more surface runoff. That's why if you look at this, the control drainage surface runoff a bit higher compared with the regular drainage. But if you look at the absolute volume, we have less surface runoff, about 150 to 200. And then you get a tile drainage, you got much higher value. We're talking about more than 1,000, you know, this millimeter. And that would be reversed. Control drainage because you control it, right? So I ended up, your control drainage tile runoff would be much less than the regular drainage. So you take advantage of this portion in here, and hopefully the, you know, phosphorus will be different too. And this one is flow weight mean concentration in surface runoff. As I mentioned, because of your control, obvious control drainage sub-irrigation would have a little bit higher concentration because more water going there, phosphor particularly. So you get slightly higher in here. And for the dissolved reactive and unreactive, the same. And a particular is almost the same. Then you get to the tile, then just sort of reverse a little bit, but not as much. As more would be the flow volume effect, not a concentration. See, flow volume is a big difference. That's why when you get the loss, flow volume time concentration, then that's where you will hope to have less loss. And take a look at this surface runoff. This is the actual loss. As I mentioned, the same thing. If you look at here, this is the control drainage higher. Control drainage is a little bit higher. Control drainage is a little bit higher. But the actual volume is small. Well, let's look at the P loss in tile. Then that would be reversed, right? Because the concentration did show a little bit better in the control drainage system. So the black, look at the red one. the concentrations, regular drainage is higher. See? Oh, this is not a, sorry, this is not a concentration, this is total loss. Because total loss, because of the volume is much higher. Volume time concentration ended up, you will have much higher in regular drainage in here. So let's take a look at the cumulative P loss. And if you take a look here, this is a dissolved reactive P, a dissolved reactive P, all the control drainage higher in the surface. But if you look at the actual, you know, the number in there, 150, 200, 200, and the PP is 1,000, then when you get a tire, much higher values, we're talking about 500, almost two times in here, 500, two times. This is almost three or four times. Then it's reversed, so ended up your regular drainage have higher, much higher loss. See, it's, as I said, mainly it's come from the volume, and concentration is slightly different, but volume, that's where you control, you got less volume come to the tire. Although create a little bit of surface around. If in your area happen to be a lot of heavy rainfall, and if you got control drainage, you create so much surface runoff, this will not work that well. It happened in our areas, just normally during the growing season and even off season, the surface runoff is much less. As a matter of fact, with 20 years record, we calculate actual rainfall coming in, 10% go to the surface runoff, 40% go to the tire runoff, 8%, about 8 to 10% is a water storage. 55% go to the evapotranspiration. We have the record. We have a detail, you know, the water balance. So anybody want to do this, you have to have a good water balance, have a good feeling where the water go. If you know a lot of water go to the tire, this will be the system to go. Anyway, this is just sort of summarized a little bit. If you look at the regular free drainage, and let's take the volume first. Regular free drainage, in the surface only 3%. 97% go to the tire, but immediately use control drainage, they increase a little bit more, 20% in there, 80%. So majority still go to the tire. Since the water go that much in there, and the actual loss and for the phosphorus, they have a 66% versus 96%. So if you control here, you still control three-quarter of phosphorus anyway. But when you're talking about nitrate, nitrate is slightly different. Nitrate keep moving, right? So I ended up, for the control drainage, subaerial control, nitrate is much better than the phosphorus. Still, phosphorus had very good advantage in there. So the how about talking a little bit grow the yield? So this is free drainage in soybean, and look at the free drainage in the sub-irrigation. And same thing for the, this is a free drainage, no irrigation, and this sub-irrigation. The corn grows much better, and they have a better corn crop, and you can see the difference. And the yield, of course, we had about 90% yield increase for the corn in 1 year, and soybeans about 50% increase in the dry year. But even in the wet year, still increased quite a bit. And this is soybean year increase. So you not only increase the yield, you reduce the nutrient loss as well. Basically, this whatever I explained is already summarizing here. But again, the biggest difference from this control drainage sub-irrigation is reduce the phosphorus, particular phosphorus. In the dissolved portion, only slightly different. So the big advantage is it reduces almost 12 to 15% particular phosphorus used this control drainage sub-irrigation system. And also, of course, from the grower point of view, you increase the yield a lot. Because normally you would have no water to irrigate this field crop. This is not even the cash crop. So a lot of field crop, they don't irrigate it. But if you have a tile runoff in there, collect that in artificial reservoir, recycle it, then you would be a win-win situation. Increase the yield, reduce the nutrient loss. Thank you.